Thank you, Jonathan. Very familiar passage. We all should be able to recite that verbatim. And want to keep that in your mind. But I appreciate all those that came, and I appreciate the visitors. There's a story been told about this verse, Psalms 23, of a patient having trouble coping with the knowledge of being terminally ill. This patient went to his doctor for consult. Strangely, the doctor told him to read the 23rd Psalm. 5 times a day for a week, and then come back and we'll see how you feel. Before the week was up, the patient came back and told the doctor that he felt much better about himself and his destiny. He for once fully understood the meaning of the passage, and with this he seemed more content. 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. David, as you recall, had basically the same problem. He was, in essence, terminally ill. When he realized his destiny, he repented in verse 13 of that chapter. And by so doing, God relieved him of his destiny. Nathan said, "The Lord hath put away thy sin." So you see, David knew what he was writing when he wrote the 23rd Psalm. David was having trouble with his place and what he had done. And Nathan had told him where his place was. In verse 7, Nathan said to David, "You are the man, thus says the Lord of God of Israel." He says, "I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, for you did secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." And then in verse 13, David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." He realized that he was in a bad state. He needed an escape. So he wrote the 23rd Psalm. There are many people around us that have situations like this, that have sinned before God, that have realized the wrong conditions, maybe even have had just trials and temptations that are confronted with them. And maybe you have had problems that have confronted you, and you just need way out. You just need an escape to relieve yourself and comfort yourself and get you out of these problems. And that's why I want to look at the 23rd Psalm. I thank David for reading that. I want to look at this psalm, and then we want to talk about each part of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David wrote this because he realized where his comfort was going to come from. Look first at this in parts. When he talks in verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's showing his faith in God. We read in John the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 18. And John says, or Jesus is saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, too, that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded." And that's found in John 10, 11 through 18. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. He knows us. We call him by name. We follow him. We have that faith to follow him. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Do we believe in that good shepherd? He will take care of you. I long to be with a good shepherd. How about you? David longed to be with a good shepherd because of his assurance. He says, "I shall not want." David realized that he didn't need anything but the good shepherd. Have you ever watched a flock of sheep with their shepherd? Wherever the shepherd goes, so does the sheep. The sheep has this assurity of all their needs being taken care of because of the shepherd. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. For they neither sow nor they reap, gather nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We have that assurance that the shepherd will take care of us. We have to follow. This is the assurance that David was speaking of when he says, I shall not want. In verse 2, it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Here's where God makes us slow down and talk with him. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, in verse 6, he says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He needs us to be committed to the shepherd, be committed to the point where we're slow down and make sure that we are following. He makes his sheep to lie down. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6, it says, whatsoever state I am, there will I be content. We need to be content as long as we are following the shepherd. We need to be assured that he's leading us in the right path. In the 2nd verse, he also says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. What a peaceful moment. Sheep don't like water. They don't even think to get close to rough waters. When their coat gets wet, it gets heavy. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 2 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, charity, and peace. We need to stay away from the rough waters of this world, but we need to stay close to the shepherd and be peaceful with him beside the still waters where it is peaceful. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and verse 15, tells us to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. David's peace lies within these passages. In verse 3, he goes on to say, he restoreth my soul. David felt a sense of needing restoring. The good shepherd sees when we are overwhelmed with the world and its false riches and always sends forth rescue. The shepherd sees a sheep in trouble or approaching trouble and will always retrieve the sheep. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter and verse 3, says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by the glory and virtue. In John, the 11th chapter, in verse 25, Jesus said to the woman at the well, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We need to know where our life is. We need to know where we can find safety. In the Psalms, in the 3rd verse, he goes on to say, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his sake. Our shepherd is a leader. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Sheep get lost easily. Not sure if you're aware of that. But they need to stay close together. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the shepherd knows where his sheep is and makes sure that the sheep follow him. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We need to acknowledge, we need to know and understand the shepherd, stay close to him. In John, the 10th chapter and verse 2, the writer says, by he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. If we are the sheep of Christ, we need to make sure that we understand his voice. We need to make sure that we understand and recognize him as our leader, and we need to follow. In the fourth verse, we see where, well, it reads, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." We need to have confidence here. Death is evident. It's all around us. We need to be aware of that. And 2 Timothy, the second chapter and verse 11 says, this is a faithful saying, "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him." Death is evident, but if we recognize that we have our shepherd leading us and caring for us, we know that we're in good hands. Revelation, the 14th chapter and verse 13 says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." There's a blessing in us following the shepherd. There's a blessing in us dying in his hands. There's a place for us. So we need to have this confidence that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death with our shepherd. We need to have the courage. In verse 4, he says, "I will fear no evil." Paul took courage or strength when he saw the brethren in Rome in Acts, the 28th chapter and verse 15. It was encouragement to him. He didn't have any fear. When we have brethren amongst us going in the same path, following the shepherd, we increase our courage. He continues in verse 4, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This is a companionship developed with the shepherd. The shepherd always has his rod and his staff, and that rod is for directing, and that staff is for pulling the lost sheep, those that are straying away. David recognized this. The shepherd's rod and the staff is the protection of the sheep. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." In verse 5, we find the providence of God, or those that, where it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." This is the preventive maintenance. He has given us his word. In Luke, the first chapter, starting at verse 68, "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." David had this comfort, knowing that God was going to provide. God was going to take care of us. Now, in the fifth verse, it goes on to say, "Thou anointest my head with oil." The shepherd would anoint the wounds of the sheep He has chosen us to favor because we love right and we hate evil. Shepherd takes care of his sheep. And so doesn't our shepherd take care of us. In Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 9, Hebrew writer says, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." And continuing in verse 5, he says, "My cup runneth over." We have the joy given to us by our shepherd, caring for us, providing for us, showing favor to us. In Matthew, the second chapter, verse 10, says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly joy, knowing of the Savior. In Acts, the 15th chapter, verse 3, so being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. This was the consolation for teaching and preaching the gospel and seeing the produce of all of its teachings. In Philippians, the first chapter, verse 7, we read that, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you." This was in Philemon. 1 John, the first chapter, verse 4, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." There's much joy within the sheepfold, much joy that we can participate in. The good shepherd will supply this joy and will keep it overflowing as long as we follow the shepherd. In verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting with verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Those are the blessings that we can obtain for living righteously, for following the shepherd. And verse 6 finishes out, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The good shepherd has supplied us a home. John 14, in the first 3 verses, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." We learn an awful lot from the 23rd Psalm. David wrote this for comfort. We can read this. We can live this, knowing that there's comfort in it for us as well. Question is, will you be ready? Will you know him as a sheep should? Do you know the shepherd? Will you follow him? Have the comfort of David as he realized his fall, and he wrote the 23rd Psalm. And as he writes the 23rd Psalm again in our hearts. If you're here this afternoon and you haven't been following the shepherd, You've got time to follow the shepherd and be part of his leadership this very night by just repenting of your sins and getting in line, getting back in step. If you haven't become a Christian, you need to, in order to be part of the shepherd's flock. Think on these things as together we stand and sing.